I'm Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Coming to you every Wednesday afternoon, talking about high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined today by Blake Morgan, but not Gene Phelps. He is, on assignment, isn't he, Blake?
He is. All right. Out of the office this morning.
Well, how are you doing? You getting all caught up with the state championships coming
up?
Yeah,
keeping up with all that. Yeah. Football's about to end.
It is. It's the last weekend of football season, which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
Because we like football. But we like basketball around here, too. This is a hill country. Plenty of basketball going on. But this show will be dedicated pretty much all to football because we do have three area teams in the running for a state title this weekend. They're playing them, of course, in Starkville at Davis Wade Stadium, the MSU campus. That's where they're playing the state championships Friday and Saturday. We'll get into that in just a minute and preview those games. First, we do want to remind you to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. And also, you know, there's a variety of ways to listen to this. So, you know, maybe you're listening in iTunes or one of the podcast apps. If you don't have an iPhone, you got Stitcher, you got Player.fm. And you can also stream it online, PrepRally.DJournal.com. And so that's... It's pretty easy. Just tell your friends about us. We like to talk about high school sports because it's a big deal around here, and it's going to be a big deal this weekend. Let's go ahead and get into it, I guess, Blake. Might as well. It's a 2A. Mm-hmm. 2A, you got Calhoun City. Got a 13-1 record. They'll play at 3 p.m. Friday against Bay Springs, which, you know, you got to take this team seriously for many reasons, but not least of all, they knocked off Bassfield, which had won four consecutive state crowns in Class 2A. They've been dethroned. So that right there tells you a little bit about how good Bay Springs is, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. At the press conferences down in Jackson on Monday, Bay Springs coach Dan Brady said, you know, it was truly David and Goliath, and we came out with the victory, and it's going to be David and Goliath this week. So he was giving a lot of respect to Calhoun City. But, yeah, and then Perry Lyles got up, and he said, hey, Bay Springs has got to be good because they beat Bassfield, which we have not been able to do the last few years.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, I guess you could say maybe Calhoun City is the favorite. I don't know. Bay Springs is 12-3, but Calhoun City's only got the one loss. Calhoun City lost early in the season to Houston, which is a 4A school right now, a larger school, and that was a 21-7 game. They've reeled off 12 straight wins since then, coming off a beatdown of Baldwin, 47-20. Blake, I don't think it was really even that close, was it?
No, it really wasn't. Like, yeah, it was. Baldwin had a touchdown with like 8 seconds left, and they might have had another touchdown with like 2 minutes left or something to kind of make it look a little closer. And then the starting defense really did not give up points, because I talked about that with Perry Lyles.
Yeah, coming into this game, they'd given up
six whole points in the playoffs, and the only points given up in this game was a fumble in the end zone or whatever by Calhoun City, which Baldwin recovered, which was one of their only touchdowns. And the two other touchdowns by Baldwin came on Calhoun City's second team defense.
Right.
So first string is only giving up 6 points, really, in the playoffs.
Wow, that's going to be tough nut to crack there for the Bay Springs offense. I know we've got some numbers here. Just, you know, coming into this game, Bay Springs is averaging 35.7 points per game. Calhoun City is giving up 8.6. So, you know, good defense against good offense. You tend to favor the good defense. But Bay Springs defense is no slouch, so they're only giving up about 15 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Calhoun City is averaging about 38. So I could definitely see a low-scoring game here, something in the 20s
maybe. Oh, absolutely. I could 100% see that. I think what one of the biggest things it will come down to is, like you said, Bay Springs defense is pretty good. It'll have to stop Jesse Neighbors, Calhoun City's running back, who you know, he didn't put up tremendous stats in the Baldwin win, but that was because the first two times he touched the ball, he scored. And, yeah. you know, at some point you got to kind of call off the horses when you're up. So I guess unless you're Simmons and you score 98. But, yeah, so Calhoun City, I mean, and that was one of the things Bay Springs, his coach said, is, you know, he was like, I don't know if we have anyone that can catch Jesse Neighbors with the ball. I mean, he is a fast guy for two.
And you got JoJo Gray that we wrote about earlier this week. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes things tick with that offense too, doesn't he?
Yeah, and as a junior, he's a second-year quarterback. If you look at just his stats, you'll say, wow, I mean, he doesn't really do that much. But if you go and watch, he has complete command of the offense. It's a offense. It's not really a triple option, but they have two wings right off the line of scrimmage and like a fullback right behind them. So it looks like a triple option offense, or formation, but they don't really run a triple option. But I mean, he's out there and he throws fakes all the time and just finds little creases to get through to make plays. It's fun to watch him. It's fun to watch any quarterback have complete command of an offense, and he does.
But you know, just looking at Bay Springs defense, and we mentioned that they give about 15 points a game, which, you know, well, maybe that's something to do with the competition, but they only gave up 13 points to Bassfield. Bassfield has a really good offense. I mean, leading up to that game, before that game against Bay Springs, they had not scored fewer than 41 points since way back in September. I mean, they'd put up 41 points the week before against Heidelberg. They put up 58 the week before that, 62, 41, 61, 55, 55. I mean, that was a potent offense that Bay Springs basically shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Calhoun City has a potent offense. Again, this is why I think it could be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, no, I think you're completely correct.
All right, let's move on to
– That game will be 3 o'clock Friday.
Yes, 3 o'clock Friday at Davis Wade Stadium. 3 o'clock Saturday, we'll have the 4A final, Lafayette – against Poplarville. Lafayette is 12-2. They've won 12 in a row since a little bit of a slow start to the season. But as he wrote, I think it was in Tuesday's paper, Michael Fair, first-year coach. So there was going to be some adjustment period as he got his system into place and got to know the players and how to use them. And they adjusted pretty quickly. I mean, two losses against good teams early on, and then they've been unstoppable.
It's just been rolling, and that's one of the things he said, and I wasn't able to put it into the article just because it would have been too long, but he was like, you know, it was 0-2, our guys didn't panic, and we played Oxford, and he said that's when it really kind of turned around was, you know, the guys, they never faltered, but they came together for that Oxford game, you know, rivalry game, they got up for it.
Sure.
They came out, they won, and he knew going into the season that they had a special group of guys, but once he saw them rally together for that Oxford win, he knew something special was about to happen. he said, you know, and then after Oxford, we just rattled off a couple of wins. I was like, yeah, coach, you rattled off a couple of wins into the championship game.
Yeah, exactly, which is a place Lafayette's familiar with. I think it's their first time since 2013. But I remember when Jeremy Liggins was quarterback, they won back-to-back.
Yeah, since 2013, they were the runner-up.
Right. You know, new coach, same result, and they've got several guys that really make that offense go. But in particular, Jamarcus Quarles, of course, the running back. He's run for over 2,000 yards. And Will Ard, the quarterback. So those two guys, I guess, kind of make them go. How does Ard kind of run things?
Very efficient.
Yeah.
Very efficient.
Because he's not thrown a pick in like.
Well, he threw a pick against Pontotoc.
Oh, did he? He finally threw one.
So he's thrown one interception since the week two loss to Grenada.
Okay.
And it was Pontotoc, which, as we know, we've talked about all year, very good defense.
Hey, I mean, and that game was a close one. It was 21-14 was the final,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, 21-14.
And Pontotoc had a chance at the end to tie it. They got stopped on like a fourth and goal, and Lafayette's defense came up big. And that's another thing about this team that gets you this far is the defense. And Lafayette, obviously, very strong on that side of the ball. Who kind of makes them go on defense there, Blake?
Brandon Curry comes up with 146 tackles.
That's a lot.
Which is just a ton of tackles. Yeah, linebacker, he just kind of controls the field. But, I mean, you know, when you talk with Michael Fair, it's just kind of everyone.
Sure.
You know, and I think they're giving up like 11 points a game on average.
Which, yeah.
You know, if that's the case, everyone kind of is stepping up and making plays, right,
exactly,
all year.
Exactly.
And I think it's easy to kind of get wrapped up in Will Ard and Jamarcus Quarles, especially Quarles, because he's just kind of a monster running the football. But, I mean, the defense is just solid. It's going to be hard. I mean, you know, Pontotoc was averaging like 45 points a game, and they had 14.
Yeah.
And it was and Pontotoc has thrown it all over the field all year, and Jacob Carter just couldn't get a lot going. And, and that speaks a lot more towards Lafayette's defense than Pontotoc's offense, right?
I think so.
They've just shut down everyone they've played.
What do we know about Poplarville? We know they've won since they suffered an early loss, and they haven't lost since then. So they come in with a 12-1 record. So you got a couple of teams with 12-game winning streaks. It's odd their schedule. They had like back-to-back open dates. I don't know what the deal with that was.
Maybe someone dropped out.
Maybe, I guess so. I mean, most everyone had one open date at least. They had back-to-back ones, but they didn't slow them down. They got into division play. They rolled through it undefeated. They've beaten past Christian. They've beaten in the playoffs. They beat Quitman. Then they beat Mendenhall. And last week they beat Florence 42-14. They haven't been in a close game in the playoffs. They haven't been in a close game, gosh, since like early in the season. They've been blowing people out of the water all season long. So have we learned much about them?
I mean, I usually, in going into the games, I usually like to favor the ones that have been through the adversity, kind of like Lafayette last week.
Exactly.
What we know about Poplarville, they do not like to throw the ball very much. Very much a running, control-the-clock team.
Okay.
Jesse Purnell has rushed for 1,614 yards, 26 touchdowns. Austin Bolton rushed for 1,700 yards and 21 touchdowns. So two different guys with over 20 touchdown rushing this season. That's what they're going to do. And, you know, Lafayette, they shut down the passing game last week at Pontotoc. But they did allow Gabe Harmon, who's a really good running back for Pontotoc, to get 80-something yards on like 18 carries is what I thought it was, and maybe in like a touchdown. So – they're going to have to come in and shut down this running back tandem for Poplarville.
Yeah, well, you know, that'll be a fun game to watch there, no doubt. We'll see a lot of good running offense between
3 o'clock on Saturday.
Yes, 3 o'clock Saturday between Poplarville's running backs and Jamarcus Quarles. We mentioned the 2,000-yard rusher. So 3 o'clock Saturday, Lafayette against Poplarville in the 4A final. And finally, another team we have is West Point playing for a title. They are very familiar with going deep into the postseason. Mm-hmm. They're going to go for the 5A title on Saturday night. That is, I guess that's the last game of the weekend. Yep. They'll face Laurel at 7 o'clock. West Point beat Lake Cormorant last week. They had a little trouble early on with Lake Cormorant, but they pulled away with a big second half. And, you know, as they've done all year, they've got a balanced offense.
Yeah.
And we wrote about them in today. You wrote about them, I guess, or Gene wrote about them, rather, in today's journal, the Wednesday journal. Clayton Knight, the Saltillo transfer, came in and, you know, has just really fit right into the offense, even though it's an offense that normally and historically has been a run-heavy offense. I mean, over the years, they've had guys that can throw the ball when they needed to, but otherwise you're looking at mainly a run-only offense. But this year they've really spread their wings a little bit because of Knight.
Yeah, and it's kind of given them another dimension that they just haven't ever really had.
Yeah, no.
You know, I the last time I saw them, the only time I've seen them this year, it was the Jamboree.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who they played. It might have been Madison Central, but that could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I can remember.
In the Jamboree. But, you know, because Gene was like, hey, check out Clayton Knight. He's a Saltillo transfer. See how he does. And then, I watched, and he didn't really do anything. And, it, you know, they just ran the ball, and they were very effective doing it. It kind of what Clayton Knight told Gene for his story was, you know, I came in, they just didn't have a ton of passing plays.
Yeah, looking in the playbook, like we got all these running plays.
Yeah, and you know, and they just never really trusted a guy to pass the ball, and so they didn't have plays that reflected it, and so they've really transformed throughout the year as Knight has proven to be a capable passer. And, yeah. I mean, they're in position to win the state title.
And when you start having to try to pass the ball more, you got to find guys that can catch it. But that's the good thing about West Point. They've always got athletes, and they've got guys that can run the ball. But, you know, I've seen over the years they do have guys that can catch the ball. They've had some good receivers. They just, you know, didn't have a lot of opportunity to catch the ball.
Right.
But when they did, you know, they could do that. So I'm sure that was not really a problem finding guys to throw to there for Clayton Knight. So, West Point will take on Laurel. Laurel is 13-1, same record as West Point there, Blake. So have we what have we learned about Laurel? I know they got a quarterback with a good arm.
Yeah, well, Chris Chambliss got up at the press conference on Monday, the West Point head coach, and he said, you know, joking to the Laurel coach, he's like, hey, if you promise not to pass, we'll promise not to run the ball.
Yeah.
So that kind of talks about how good Laurel is. I mean, Umer, the Laurel's quarterback.
Yeah, Tyquan Ulmer, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I don't know how you say it. Tyquan Ulmer or Ulmer.
Ulmer.
Anyway,
he's close enough.
He's good. He's thrown for 3,100 yards, 41 touchdowns?
41 touchdowns.
That's a lot.
That is ridiculous for high school football. And like, I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on you to cover those guys. You don't usually have to cover such passing threats in high school, right? I mean, you just don't.
Yes. And, I mean, that's more than three touchdowns per game, or right at three touchdowns per game there for the quarterback from Laurel. What else we know about this team?
Pretty much that. They put up points in bunches, throwing the football, right? It will be a clash of styles, right, with more balanced with West Point, but definitely relying on Marcus Murphy to carry them while, you know, Laurel's going to spread the ball around, and they're going to try to put up points in bunches.
I think we could see a high-scoring game. I think West Point would be able to score on Laurel. I mean, you're just looking at the numbers. I mean, you know, Laurel gives up 19 points a game. That's solid, but they've given up some points. They gave up 42 to Hattiesburg in a playoff win. They won that game 45-42. Gave up 27 last week to Picayune. You know, but they've had some games where they've shut teams down. They beat Wayne County 41-7 to close out the regular season. And so, yeah, you know, they got a good defense, but I think with that balance that you're talking about with the Clayton Knight at quarterback, who can run some as well, by the way, I think West Point's offense could have a good game, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention Marcus Murphy, who can run, but he can also pass.
He'll
run out of the Wildcat some, so they do have some different looks there at quarterback, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot to prepare for. Gene was covering the game, and he said, you know, they would run Clayton Knight like one or two series and then just put Marcus Murphy back there and let him just, and, you know, he just runs the ball at the line, hikes it, and then takes a step forward, and then will throw it.
You know,
trying to lull them asleep. He had 79 yards rushing in the touchdown, 72 yards passing in the touchdown in the win last week.
Yeah, against Lake Cormorant. Yeah. So there you go. That game again is 7:00 Saturday night. West Point and Laurel. Let's go ahead and just run through the whole schedule so everybody knows if you're going down there to watch. I mean, you could go. I'm not sure how much your tickets for like a day pass.
It is $15, but if you go and talk to your school before Friday, it's only $14, and $7 goes back to the school.
Oh, okay.
So an incentive to go buy a day pass.
Exactly.
But, and it'll be $15 at the door.
Gotcha. Okay, so Friday it starts at 11 a.m. We got the 1A final, Simmons against Lumberton. And then at 3 o'clock that day, we mentioned Calhoun City will play Bay Springs in 2A. And then that night, this is a game worth going to watch for sure, the Class 6A final. It's going to be Clinton against Pearl. So I honestly don't know a lot about Pearl, but I know a good bit about Clinton. And Cam Akers, maybe the best player in the state, one of the most dynamic playmakers in the state.
Forget the state. He might be one of the best players in the country.
You're right.
I think it's 247. He's rated like number 3 or 4.
Yeah,
something like that in the country.
Right.
It's what everyone says is he is just a special player. Gene's been talking to old coaches throughout the state all the last 2 weeks about Cam Akers, and they've been, you know, it's been some guys who've been coaching for 30 years saying they've never seen a high school player as good as Cam Akers.
Really? That's saying something, because there's been a ton of good high school players come through Mississippi in that time span. So Cam Akers, a special talent, probably worth, even if you don't have a rooting interest there, just to go out Friday night
and watch that game on Saturdays. At either, I think he has it between Ole Miss, Florida State, and LSU.
Okay, wow, yeah.
So some top tier.
So you can see a future star here at Davis-Wade Stadium, 7 o'clock Friday night. Then on Saturday, the Class 3A game at 11, that's Charleston, always a good team. They're going to take on Kemper County. Then the 3 p.m. game is the 4A between Lafayette and Poplarville that we mentioned, and then West Point and Laurel wrap it up at 7 o'clock for the 5A title. So that's your schedule for the high school state football championships. This weekend we'll have full coverage, of course, Blake. I guess you and Gene will both be down there this weekend at various times.
I'm flying solo this weekend.
You're flying solo this weekend.
Gene is covering high school basketball, I think Tupelo Pontotoc Friday night.
We do have some basketball we need to cover.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then Saturday is Joe Rutherford's party.
Oh, that's right.
So he'll be there. So
Joe Rutherford, the longtime Daily Journal editorial page editor, is retiring and having a going away party for him on Saturday.
So I'll be missing that. I will be in.
Well, Gene's been working with Joe for a long
time. Yeah, he knows him a little bit more than that.
So maybe Gene should be able to get to that party. You can handle it. It's just three games there, spread out pretty well. So look for Blake's coverage there in the Daily Journal and at djournal.com.
John Davis, JD, is covering Lafayette for us.
Oh, yes.
I'll be writing a sidebar on the
game. Because, of course, Lafayette, the Oxford Citizen covers Lafayette, so John Davis will have some coverage there. And y'all can follow along for updates at Blake Morgan DJ. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think, John's Twitter is at Oxford Citizen JD. All right, let's move on to Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We recognize a male and a female athlete from the area for their exploits on the field of play or the court, what have you. Let's start with the female athlete of the week. And, you know, we've kind of had a dearth of basketball games lately because you had the holidays last week. So unless you're playing in a holiday tournament, you probably were not playing. Mm-hmm. And then we were supposed to have a bunch of games last night, but the weather came through. The severe weather pretty much canceled everything.
Yeah.
So we had a little bit of trouble, but we did find a worthy female athlete of the week. They did get a game in Monday. Paige Huddleston of Baldwin, the Lady Bearcats, had a win against Amory on Monday, 64-55, and Paige had 16 points to lead the way. I believe she's a junior. Plays in the post.
Junior center.
Yeah, plays in the post there for Baldwin. So congrats to Paige for being our athlete of the week. And the male athlete of the week, Ladarius Spears, over at the Lighthouse Classic that they have every year in Corinth, big-time tournament there, two-day deal. They play Thanksgiving weekend. Local teams and also teams from out of state. They had a lot of stars come in, some big-time recruits. Well, this kid, Ladarius Spears, is making a name for himself. He had 20 points, 15 rebounds, and an 87-81 win over Ashland. Ashland, of course, is the reigning 2A state champ, so that's a good team with DeAnthony Tipler on that squad. But Ladarius Spears, he's a big guy in the post. He's like, how big is he? I think Gene was saying he's about 6'4", 250.
Yeah.
Big kid, just dominated in the post.
Eats up space down low.
Yeah, can use both hands, so you'll see his name a lot more. So congrats to Ladarius Spears as well, athlete of the week. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for following along. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. We'll have updates from that account this weekend, certainly with the state football championships, as will Blake. You can, again, follow him on Twitter at BlakeMorganDJ. He'll have full coverage in the Saturday and Sunday journals, game coverage there, and of course preview coverage leading up to it. You can follow me on Twitter as well at Brad Locke. And that's it for this episode. We'll be back next Wednesday. Perhaps Gene will be with us, and I guess we'll obviously recap the state championships and start turning our attention a little more toward basketball as we really get that into the swing of that. Thanks again for joining us. We'll be back next week. Until then, I'm Brad Locke for Blake Morgan. Have a good one.